The Border Patrol is presented by Walker Medical Linen Services. Walker Medical Linen specializes in bed linens, towels, scrubs, and lab coats. Family owned and operated for over 140 years. Find out why hospitals of all sizes, surgery centers, and medical clinics trust Walker Medical Linen. Online at walkermls.com.
Yeah, I think they did a great job, man. They stayed with it. Those guys are going to fight to the very end. They're competitors. And so we had Nick in there, who's played a lot of big games for us. And so throwing him in there with those other guys, they battled the entire game and gave us chances to score points. And so I'm always proud of those guys. That they continue to get better and better, we'll win a lot of football games.
That was Patrick Mahomes talking about the performance from the offensive line, including Nick Allegretti filling in for Joe Tooney. Now we have former Chiefs defensive lineman Bill Moss joining the show. Bill, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Doing very well. Hey, you know what? It's a victory Monday, but boy, that game was kind of weird. I saw Sam McDowell in his column compared it to almost a feeling like at some point like a preseason game with some of the guys that the Rams had in there. You heard Mahomes talking about his offensive line. What did you take away from that game yesterday against the Rams?
A W. I mean, that's pretty much really it. They have the ability, unfortunately, to play to the level of their competition sometimes. And you could say they did that. There was nothing glamorous about that game. A lot of struggles, obviously, inside the red zone. The mistakes, just mistakes. And you still come out of there, with a 16-point win. And I say 16 points because that hurt.
It hurt? There's some people that felt pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
it kept you hooked until the end, didn't it?
Yeah, it kept you hooked until the end. No question about it. It was funny, too, that the commentators were talking about it as well. They alluded to the 15.5-point spread and that a lot of people were going to be watching these last few plays here. I thought that was funny.
No, that's the truth. One thing that we have talked about quite a bit today that did come out of that game didn't hurt him, but that's got to be the end of Sky Moore at punt returner, right?
You would think he just doesn't look comfortable there. You can almost feel his uneasiness about it when you look at him and he's back there. He's not a confident guy back there, and that's, if you don't have that at that position, you can't be back there. It didn't affect us yesterday, but those things occur on a more frequent basis. Look, every punt team that we play from here on out, punt coverage group, if they see 24 back there, they're going to, they're going to feel like they've got a chance to get the ball. And it's something they're going to have to contend with if they keep on forcing them back there. My question is, who do you put back there?
I'm good with Justin Watson because he just catches the ball. And when we asked Dave Tobe about that in training camp, and he said he didn't really say it as a compliment. He said, he'll catch the ball. He just won't do nothing with it. But he'll catch the ball.
Yeah, I remember.
But guess
that.
What, Bill? If you told me,
I'm okay with
from now, the end of the year and through the playoffs, he'll catch every punt and he won't have any big plays, sign me up right now.
Right. Yeah, just secure the ball and hand it over to 15 and get him on the field, right? I mean, that's that whole mentality. That's how the philosophy should be at this point in the game. Just get him out there. It doesn't matter where he's at on the field. He's going to get in for a long drive. And that's another thing you can talk about, too, with that offense came away from yesterday. Their drives were long, Didn't always get the result you wanted with the 7 points, but you're talking – each time, every series, it's like 10, 12, 14 plays, marching the ball, just getting the ball to a variety of different receivers and letting people go make plays. I mean, it's pretty impressive to watch. It really is. I mean, because it's hard to do in the NFL.
10 different players had at least 10 receiving yards for the Chiefs yesterday.
Yeah.
And 10 different players have caught a touchdown for the Chiefs this year. That's crazy. Nate Bucchetti.
And I'm wondering, we haven't spoken too much about him today, Bill, so I'd like to get your thoughts. I'm wondering how much of that is the development of Isaiah Pacheco. Because I don't, correct me if I'm wrong, and maybe I guess if it crossed over into the early days of Andy Reid here with Jamaal Charles, they haven't really had a guy that's like, this is the running back. And, I mean, I wonder how many times, I'd have to look, Curtis Seymour would probably make a spreadsheet on this. How many times has a running back under Andy Reid with the Chiefs had 22 carries in a game, which is what Pacheco had yesterday? And I'm curious what you're seeing from him as he continues to grow, and how much does that change what they are as an offense if they feel like this is our actual bell cow back?
Yeah, so I think they're going to give him every opportunity to be that guy. The answer to your question would probably be Kareem Hunt. You know, he was kind of that guy.
Yeah.
But they still don't have a guy yet, and they're trying to see if Pacheco can become that guy. They're sprinkling in everybody else. We saw Ronald Jones yesterday for the first time. And McKinnon, he does his things, catching out in the flat. They're finding different ways to use those guys to be effective, and that's the mastery of Andy Reid. That's what he does. He'll take guys and go, okay, we don't have this, but we can get this, this, and this out of these guys. And, you know, they're giving Pacheco the time to see if he actually can be that guy for them full time. And he's stepping up. I mean, there wasn't eye-popping numbers yesterday. But I think if you look back in your notebook, I said a few weeks back that the biggest thing about this team is the unknown, because you don't know what you're going to get. I mean, you used to know what you're going to get. You're getting a heavy dose of 87 and a heavy dose of 10 and Tyreek Hill. Now, as a defense, you don't know what's coming at you. And it's really effective. And I think that, you know, they're a better offense because of it. And I think that Patrick Mahomes has become a better quarterback because of it.
Okay, so I'm looking at the question that you asked, and for Kareem Hunt in 2017, he had
five times.
Six.
Was it six times?
Six.
Okay.
Yep. 21, 29, 22. Then he had a three-game stretch of 25, 24, and 29 in the last three of the four last weeks of the season.
And they did it one time in 18.
Carries. And then Jamaal Charles, the only time it would have been for him would have been 2013. But one, two, three, four times. But he had a bunch of 17, 18, 19, 17, 19, 16, 18. Those are really the only two guys you could look at. All right, Bill, they beat the Rams. That's done.
Yep.
Now the game that I've been looking forward to more than any other regular season game this year is finally happening. You got the Chiefs against a hot Bengals team that has continued to have success during the last three or four weeks without Jamar Chase and for a while without Joe Mixon. And we don't know who's going to be healthy and who's going to be playing next Sunday, but this is going to be a very difficult game. And I know you can't look past anyone, but then after that, man, I don't see a team that's going to stop the Chiefs from getting that number one seed. So this is it right here. And there's so much on this. We have heard Mahomes talk about how poorly he played and how he blames himself for the second half. We heard Nick Bolton yesterday say that he dropped a couple of possible interceptions and he blames himself. We've heard Chris Jones since training camp over and over again talk about how he didn't do his job, how he got to the quarterback but didn't bring him down. These guys, all of them, have had this game circled. What do you think of how the Chiefs have openly talked about those games and that game, that loss in the playoffs to Cincinnati?
Well, I think that everybody that knows or watched that game knew that the best team did not advance to the Super Bowl. and that's the biggest downfall. And it was only because of themselves, nobody else. And so they've had to live with that in their crawl all offseason. I mean, and it was glaring. It was, look, that second half was just abysmal, right? I mean, nothing went right. Every time they tried to do something, it looked ugly and it got worse. And they did that to themselves. It wasn't, and I don't want to take anything away from the Bengals defense, but it wasn't because of the Bengals defense. It was because the Chiefs, made the bad play. So, yeah, when you deal with something like that, you want the opportunity to be at your best and show them your best. And I think you're going to get that this Sunday.
If Patrick Mahomes is clearly the best quarterback in football, where do you have Joe Burrow?
Well, I just think Joe's just a gritty guy, you know. I mean, he has his moments, but I think his right now, his MO to me is his blind toughness. You know, this guy gets just beat up continuously, and he still stands in the pocket, and like it doesn't affect him. It's almost like a stupid courage, you know? you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Most people that get hit that often in the pocket get gun-shy, and their footwork becomes bad, their throwing mechanics become bad, they just become gun-shy, and he's not. To me, that's his greatest attribute as a quarterback, is his toughness and the ability to stand in the pocket.
Nate Eucaty.
Well, and he also shows the ability to shed some of those potential sacks, too, like last year in that game we're talking about. That's Chris Jones said he used his major motivation because he had Burrow in his grasp a couple of times last year and couldn't get him to the ground. And by the way, Chris Jones, I see, leads the NFL in sacks since week 6. He's got 8 of them. He's got 10 for the year now. How much more poised is this defensive front to actually get Joe Burrow to the ground this time around than they were last time?
Yeah, well, I think that the entire defense is a better unit than we had last year. And, you know, pass rush and secondary go hand in hand. You know, we had a good group that could muster up a lot of sacks because we had all pros in the backfield in defensive back positions. You know, we have Albert Lewis, Kevin Ross, Jerron Cherry, Lloyd Barris. You know, pass rush is going to become a lot better because they're shutting you down. And these young guys have really stepped up, in my opinion. The secondary is the turnaround that they went from last year to this year is just, to me, remarkable. It's almost like the offensive line 2 years ago. But, yeah, they're playing so doggone well, and that gives these guys an opportunity to step up. I was glad to see Carl Loftus get his deal. And Carlos Dunlap is just continuous pressure and wreaking havoc in the backfield. Frank Clark got some pressures, and he ended up, Frank had like 8 tackles, I think, combined. You know, these guys are just making plays, and that's they didn't have that last year. If Chris Jones didn't do anything last year, you weren't getting much. Now it seems that everybody's taking a turn and has an opportunity to get out there and make plays.
Hey, you mentioned Carlos Dunlap. When I asked him at the press conference after he signed up in training camp, you know, what are some of the reasons why I signed with the Chiefs? He said because there were some games that he liked a lot that he had circled on the schedule, and this was one of them. You know, he played there for a long time. Then he leaves, and they go to the Super Bowl. And he wasn't shy about the fact that he wants to go back to Cincinnati. So that's another guy that's playing well that we'll keep our eyes on, that's going to be highly motivated on Sunday. Hey, Bill, I wanted to get your comments, and we haven't mentioned this today, but Andy Reid, after that win, now had 65 wins at Arrowhead Stadium, and that surpasses the number of wins that Marty Schottenheimer had, 64, for the most all-time by a coach at Arrowhead Stadium. And I'll be honest, you know, before they hired Andy Reid, I thought, man, that I don't think we'll ever see that mark fall, because I just didn't think, because that's what the NFL is anymore. I didn't think there would be a coach who would be there long enough with the Chiefs to break that record. I'd just like to get you to put that in perspective. 64 wins for Marty Schottenheimer, which was incredible at Arrowhead, and he established what Arrowhead is today, those teams that you were a part of and that home field advantage. But now Andy Reid has 65. That's a hell of a mark.
It's unbelievable, and you're right. We don't understand, and I don't think we appreciate enough what we have here. And I talked about it last week, from top to bottom, from ownership down to the last person in the organization. It's untouchable. You know, they're the envy of the rest of the league. I can't think of another organization that even really comes close to what we have in place here right now. And it's a blessing. Let me tell you, don't take this stuff for granted. I know it was just another kind of ho-hum win yesterday, but there's a reason that they keep on putting up W's and not L's. And it's everybody, you know, from ownership on down. And we really need to be appreciative of what we have here, because there's 31 other teams out there that would die to have this in place. For a while, New England seemed to be that they had everything together, but we've seen that come apart. We've got everything in place you need to have success over and over and over again, and that's a hard, hard thing to do in this league.
Nate Bucati.
Yeah, it's like I can't remember who we were talking about or talking with last week who mentioned the Free Solo movie and how the concept about certain, yeah, Joe Valerio was talking about how the concept of certain people that are thrill seekers, they need that level of adrenaline rush to feel at equilibrium, right? Like the normal everyday life just isn't as isn't exciting enough to make them feel normal. And I feel like the Chiefs are kind of doing that to us with football, because it's like when we get a game like yesterday, it's kind of like, huh? You know,
right.
And they got a bunch of those on the schedule left. At like this Bengals game is the last one on the schedule that really makes you go, oh boy,
yeah,
you know, here we go. And then the rest of the games, but they still got to win those games. You know, like they still have to go through the everyday life of winning those games to get the number one seed, most likely, if they want to. And that, I mean, I guess it's a great spot to be in if you're the Chiefs, but I think that doesn't that explain a lot why games like yesterday, that wasn't the best Chiefs effort. How could it be? They played an incredible game the week before against the Chargers, and they got the Bengals the next week. How could they possibly have played their best game yesterday?
Yeah, right. I know. That's the whole thing. And it's hard. It's hard to week in and week out. You know, you just have to find ways to motivate yourself. Having Patrick Mahomes as a teammate is, that's one easy way, just knowing he's there. But sometimes, you know, you rely on him too much, just thinking his magic's going to, you know, cover all the other blemishes. And, you know, you can't let the blemishes become, you know, an eyesore. So you've got to really work hard during the week to find ways to prepare yourself. And you're right. I mean, what is there to get excited about when you're talking about the Broncos, the Texans, the Seahawks, Raiders? You know, there's not much there to get you excited, and it's still, you know, you've got, what, six games to play? That's a lot, you know? A lot of things can happen during that time, and you'd hate to see anything bad occur, but it's still, you've got to go out there and find ways to compete and just chalk it up.
And how about Chris Jones yesterday with sack number 10, earning him a $1.25 million incentive? So that was a $1 million sack yesterday, Bill.
Yeah, it's crazy, right? You think about those numbers and put together, but, you know, he's just having a fantastic year. I like how they're using him, you know. Got him inside where, you know, that's his home. That's his domain there. That's where he can play. Part of the reason he wasn't really successful outside at the end was, you know, that pad level. You got to be able to get low to turn that corner out on the edge, but right there in the middle, he can play it, and he's comfortable there, and he's so quick and good with his hands, the way he, you know, battles his hands and flips his hips to get by a guy. It's explosive. He's fun to watch. He's a fantastic player and should be in the conversation for defensive player of the year.
All right, Bill, tonight you've got the KC Legend Show out at the Barstool Sportsbook at Hollywood Casino. What do you got going on?
We got it going on from 6 to 7 there, right up to kickoff. It's a fun time. People come out there and they get all juiced up for the Monday night game, and they go out there with their sheets and getting in front of the kiosk and placing all their bets. It's pretty fun to watch. I mean, it's just, you know, I'm still in shock and awe that we have that here in Kansas City and we don't have to travel on an airplane to go to see that or do that. So it's pretty fun. It's a good time. Larry Marshall is going to join us today, this evening, I mean, and talk about his time with the Chiefs and as a punt returner and a running back, and maybe pick up some tips on what he sees with Sky Moore.
Nate wants to know if you will gamble on any World Cup matches while at Barstool Sportsbook.
Well, I have, Nate. I have.
How are you doing so far? How you doing?
Hold on here.
Yeah. Well, I didn't. I took USA to cover, and we didn't quite get that done there.
Nope.
But hey, you know, it's a great time, and I'll be looking for tonight's game and getting some inside tips from some of the guys. I love talking to the guys out there because everyone's just talking, you know, and everybody has a different opinion of what they're going to bet or the parlays you're going to play or who's going to get over 80 yards receiving, and it's. So you get a bunch of tips out there from guys, so everybody has a good time.
Marco likes Michael Pittman tonight, so maybe that's a nice prop that you can go with.
Marco, but I heard Marco's record. He's giving out information, and we go 0-6 on one, didn't he?
He tried to warm up to Gary Dieter, but sent him the old unsolicited. It's like if somebody sent you 6 picks like that and none of them panned out, that might piss you off, Bill, right?
It might get me. Yeah, I just won't listen anymore, that's all.
Right.
You got to tune Marco out on that one.
Marco, I apologize for that. Bill, thank you for the time, and have fun tonight out at the Hollywood Casino.
Thank you. Be good, guys. Talk to you next week.
That's Bill Moss. Hey, Marco, do you have anything you'd like to pass along to the listeners right now, anything you've been looking at? You've got so much to choose from right now. You've got college football. You've got college basketball. You've got the World Cup. You've got the NFL. NBA, what a smorgasbord of options. Is there anything you're warming up to right now? I say you get back on the horse and make another prediction or some type of give us a tip.
Get back on the saddle. Yeah, there's a lot of ways to lose or win money right now in sports. Maybe Portugal.
Maybe Portugal.
Brazil. Team total, hit the over if it's like at 2.5 goals.
How do you feel about the U.S. men's national team tomorrow?
Tomorrow? Got to see them step it more offensively, score some more and do some more scoring because, like Nate said, they can't draw tomorrow. It has to be a win for the U.S. I don't know. I didn't watch Iran's game against Wales where they won 2-0, scoring 2 goals and the second half, I got no feel for it. I just let it happen. I'm not touching that game. I'm staying away from it.
Just lets it happen.
I just let it unfold. I don't think the defense will have much of a problem. I think that the U.S. I mean, if it was a draw and move on, if they were in Iran's situation, I'd feel more comfortable with them.
By the way, Marco's battling a cold, and he's been very temperamental today. I'd like to get your ruling on this one, Nate Piccati. We were talking about TV shows that are coming out, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he asked me if I had seen the trailer for the upcoming TV show 1923, right? Have you seen that trailer yet?
Not that I know of.
Okay. And so you know it's a Yellowstone story because they're going back to the story of the Dutton family, the Dutton Ranch, and how it, you know, came to be now. And so they started with 1883, and now the next series is now 1923, right? And it's really interesting. I love it, okay? And so they premiered the trailer. And it's a big deal because the two stars are Harrison Ford and Helen Mirren.
Ooh, yeah.
It's pretty good for your TV show, right?
Heck yeah.
And then the villain, the protagonist, is Timothy Dalton, who I thought was underrated as James Bond. I like Timothy Dalton, and he's a good bad guy. And also Robert Patrick is the sheriff. And if you remember him in Terminator 2, he would turn into liquid metal as he was chasing Arnold Schwarzenegger. Mm-hmm. And then also he was a gambling addict that owned a sporting goods store in The Sopranos. And so very good. But so Mark goes, hey, do you see the trailer for 1923? Are you going to watch it? I said, hell yes, Harrison Ford's in it. And Mark was like, so what? What's that mean? I don't know. Maybe everything Harrison Ford is in is awesome. He absolutely dismissed the body of work that Harrison Ford has put together. Like, there's certain people, like, if they're in it, I'm watching it. Leonardo DiCaprio, he's in it, I'm watching. Tom Hardy, I'm probably watching. Oh, that's a little bit more of a stretch. But there's certain, guess what? Sylvester Stallone, if he's in it, I'm watching. It ain't always good, but I'm going to tell you what, Tulsa King is great. But don't you respect the body of work of Harrison Ford, Nate Buchady?
Well, of course. I mean, Marco being the Star Wars fan that he is.
That's what I thought.
I mean,
I was shocked. No, it wasn't sarcasm. I read you pretty well, buddy.
I think Marco's just he had a long day yesterday. You know, he's got a new board over there. He's trying to, you know, every time I hit the talk back button to talk to him, it looks like
he's mad.
Somebody's jumped out of a closet and with a Freddy Krueger mask on and, you know, scaring him. It's just he is very on edge, very
How about this? Are you, Marco, at least excited the fact that he's making another Indiana Jones film? Or do you not like that?
I didn't like the last one so much.
I have to say the last one did kind of leave. It didn't measure up to the old original ones. I still want to watch another one.
I'm glad he's back doing it, not Chris Pratt. Yeah, I'll watch it.
Right. Well, hell yes, you're going to watch it.
I haven't seen
his. I love the Indiana Jones movies.
Yeah.
Right. That's right. I mean, it's a TV show with Harrison Ford. How could it be written by Taylor Sheridan, the guy that writes everything he writes is a hit? How could you miss? We'll take a break. Back after this on WHB. You know, sometimes you gotta, like, actually go back and really look at something to appreciate. And I'm looking at, like, the body of work of Harrison Ford that apparently is unimpressive to Marco. Unbelievable. I like to do rankings. I'm going to have to rank my top 10 favorite Harrison Ford movies, or at least top 5. God, I forgot I loved, like, Clear and Present Danger. And I love, like, those series of movies that he did.
The Fugitive?
The Fugitive. The Fugitive was great. The Fugitive was great.
It was.
That's a totally rewatchable movie.
That was one of the few. There's a handful of movies that I've gone back to the theater to see a second time, and that was one of them.
But, like, Patriot Games and Clear and Present Danger was fantastic.
What was that? Tom Clancy, is that guy was?
Yeah, when he was his character Jack Ryan.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the Indiana Jones series, all the freaking Star Wars movies. Presumed Innocent was great. Regarding Henry was really good. Frantic. I mean, there's some Witness. Damn. All the Blade Runner movies. I can't believe Marco disrespected that. It infuriates me.
Not impressed.
No.
Not all the Star Wars movies are great.
Yeah, I'm watching it.
That's true.
I loved 1883, you know. And that says something when you have Harrison Ford and Helen Mirren, your damn TV show. I watched, Yellowstone last night. This damn Beth. Boy, oh boy. Unbelievable.
I thought Sundays were for White Locust.
Locust later. Sundays, I like to watch Yellowstone live. because there's too – like, I can get away with White Locust because there's not as many people on Twitter giving away spoilers. You can't be on Twitter for 15 seconds on Sunday night without someone ruining something from Yellowstone. It's almost like Game of Thrones-ish where you just can't, you know, you can't get away from it. It's very difficult. And so I try to watch Yellowstone when it happens live because I don't want things to be ruined. So a little disappointed. I want Rip to fight more people this year, but he's mellowed out somewhat. But I think a storm's a brewing, it seems like. Let's play some more. Okay, one more time before we get back to some NFL. Nate Buchanan, update people on what's happened today at the World Cup, what to look for later on. And if you're going to vomit thinking about the U.S. men's national team's game tomorrow.
I have had a very uneasy feeling in my stomach for days now because of this upcoming game. And
describe the feeling. Like you're going to puke or you got to poop or like what?
More puke. Yeah, I've definitely kind of lost my appetite. I'm nervous. I'm excited. I see a lot of opportunity. I think if the United States can get past this game against Iran, they have a chance to really actually do some damage the rest of the World Cup, because the rest of the way they'll play against teams that want to actually come out and play soccer with them. And I think they showed against England that they are more than up for that. The bigger challenge for them has been being able to break down teams that try to bunker in front of goal, and which is what they're going to have to do, and they have to win. They have to score and beat Iran in order to do that. And what's adding to it is, yes, there were two incredibly entertaining soccer games today, a 3-3 draw and a 3-2 win. But to me, what's been more like what I've been more fascinated with this morning is the press conferences that have been taking place over in Qatar, because the United States Soccer Federation posted some graphics yesterday with the Iranian flag that left a logo that's in the middle of the flag off of it that represents as Islamic kingdom or whatever. I apologize for not knowing all my geopolitical stuff. But they came out and said, yeah, this was intentional because we are doing it in a show of support for all of the protesters. Reportedly, 450 have been killed in Iran, 18,000 imprisoned for these protesters going on the streets for equal rights for women and things like that. And they wanted to show support for them. So the Iranian media, the Iranian Federation has come out and asked for the United States to be banned from soccer for 10 matches by FIFA for doing this and disrespecting their flag. And that led to then the players and coach have to answer all these questions about it. And according to Greg Berhalter, the coach, the players and the coach had zero to do with this. They didn't know anything about it. They weren't consulted by this, which I think is a massive misstep personally by U.S. soccer. Not the standing in solidarity with people that want equal rights, I think is most everybody, I think, would agree with. But the way they handled it and putting this all on these players and coaches that are just trying to go play a soccer game tomorrow puts them in the spot where they're answering all these questions. Greg Berhalter is asked questions by people from the Iranian media today about naval ships that are docked near Iran. Tyler Adams was scolded by a media member from Iran for pronouncing the name of the country wrong. And then I asked him how he feels about representing the United States because of their history of poor race relations and the way black people have been treated in the United States. A 23-year-old kid who's trying to go play the biggest soccer game in his life tomorrow, and all this stuff is. And two of the players from the United States actually were excused from the press conference. Basically the PR guy from the U.S. said, "That's it, we're not doing this anymore." And they got up and they basically walked out. So, as if there wasn't enough drama on this game, from the standpoint of the United States, this young team, needing to win a game to get onto the group stage, a team that they're supposed to beat, going to be basically a home game for Iran, and the history of these two countries not liking each other. Then you throw this on top of it, and it's just like, right. Man, it's crazy.
And look, and I'll make, before we break, I'll make, go ahead and play the sounder. I'll make a boxing analogy.
Yeah,
so my
let's go.
Simple, so, so my simple mind can understand this. Because you call me a simp all the time. So there have been fights where, one guy comes in, he's a favorite, knockout artist, whatever, clearly that he's supposed to win, and he's fighting a guy that is simply there to survive, who really has no interest in trying to win. He just wants to go the 12 rounds. He just wants to survive, grab and hold and everything else. And it makes a knockout puncher, it makes the better fighter look bad. And it makes them look unimpressive because the other guy is unwilling to engage and isn't trying to win. He's just trying not to get hurt, not to get knocked out, and just to get to the final bell. And so when you describe this to me, that's what it reminds me of.
Yeah.
Because Iran does not have to try. They don't have to win. If they get a draw, good. They've done their job. They advance. U.S. goes home. How difficult is that for a team like the United States to have to face that, knowing that they have to win and they're playing a team that doesn't have to score a goal? All they got to do is get a draw.
It's very difficult. It's very difficult. You know, scoring goals is the hardest thing to do in soccer. That's why the guys that can do it consistently get paid by far the most money. And what now, right now, the United States has is a bunch of really young, confident, brash players who showed against England that they're not afraid. England's a fifth-rated team in the world, and they outplayed them all over the field, but they couldn't put the ball in the back of the net. They don't have a true center forward right now who is a world-class goal scorer. They just don't have one. They don't know from game to game who's going to start at the number nine because they don't really have the answer to the question right now.
Did they mess up with the roster?
I would personally
like... somebody
like,
there that, you, that the, would like, you'd like to be there?
There's a guy named Ricardo Pepi that I would like to have seen, and it was a shocker to me that he didn't make it. But I'm not going to sit here... What's that?
Isn't he Mexican-American?
He is Mexican-American, yes, and he chose to play for the United States. I was shocked that he wasn't. He would have been my choice. But I can't sit here and say that he was like an obvious choice. He got to play in Germany last year in the top league in Germany, and he couldn't score any goals, didn't get any service. He got moved to the Dutch league, not nearly as good of a league in terms of defense. He's scoring a ton of goals right now. But I thought with that kind of confidence and what he's shown when he has played with the national team that he would have made it, but he didn't. It's tough because they got a bunch of young guys who have promise but have never proven they can do it yet. And so, yeah, it's going to be a bigger challenge than a lot of people think. And I think your analogy about the boxing is perfect. The defenses are going to be up for Iran. And obviously, they are going to be massively up for this game. They don't like us and we don't like them. I mean, there's a lot of history between these two countries, right? And it's a home game for them, basically. So I think that the United States, they're going to have to be patient but aggressive all at the same time. They're going to also have to be very smart about the way they attack, because another one of the challenges is, and you tell me if this works in boxing, if you're the guy that's expected to deliver the knockout punch and you got to be aggressive, you also kind of expose yourself for a counter punch. And if you got all your guys forward trying to score goals and you turn it over in soccer and the other team has a breakaway, they actually end up, even though they don't have hardly nearly as much of the offense, they end up with a couple of better chances to score on you than you have, because everybody on your team is up the field.
That's why Juan Manuel Marquez was such a problem for Manny Pacquiao. Manny Pacquiao was the most aggressive fighter of his time, right, as far as punch output, as far as everything he did was aggression. Juan Manuel Marquez may have been the best counterpuncher of his time, if not the best, one of the best. And it just happened that was the perfect formula to beat Pacquiao, and that's ultimately why he got knocked out like that. He was leaning in kind of wildly off balance, and Marquez had the perfect counterpunch. That was the story of why one of my favorite fighters of all time was a thorn in the side of Manny Pacquiao. If the judges weren't blind, he'd have won all four fights. Now we got to take a break. He got me all heated and angry, but that's all right, because he ended that rivalry with a knockout. Back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Thank you to all of our guests, Todd Lebo and Gary Lezak and Adam Teicher and Bill Moss. Thank you to Marco Marquez, who was unimpressed by everything today, and Nate Bucati, who's fired up but also might vomit because he's nervous about the World Cup. And so we've got all that, all those emotions wrapped into one on the Border Patrol. So tomorrow we're working on getting Matt Beasler in the studio to calm this boy down, to soothe the savage beast that is World Cup Nate.
I'm working myself into way too much of a tizzy over this whole thing.
Right.
I need to just calm down and have confidence and belief in my guys.
That's what I told you. Believe. What do you always say? I believe that we will win.
I believe we'll have another awesome watch party down there tomorrow in the P&L.
Wow. Let's go. Everyone, have a great day on Sports Radio 810 WHP.
The Border Patrol has been brought to you by Walker Medical Linen Services, setting the standard in healthcare laundry services for hospitals, surgery centers, and medical clinics in Kansas City. Walker Medical Linen delivers laundry you can depend on. HLAC certified to the highest standards. It's Walker Medical Linen Services, online at walkermls.com.
Bye-bye.